Awesome. Can we pray before we just get started? Lord, we just thank you for this opportunity that we have just to come and gather in your name, whether we're here in this building or watching online. We just want to right now, whatever this week has been like, we just want to quieten our spirit, fix our eyes on you. We want to say, Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place. And as we're embarking on this journey to discover more about you, we say, just come and have your way. You're the air that we breathe. May everything else right now just fade away. And may we just gaze upon you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, you can be seated. Thanks very much. Appreciate that. Thanks, team, up here as well. Good to have you guys up here. And as you heard, we're continuing this series that we started last week called Spirit. And basically, it's about the person, the power, and the priority of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives and through our lives. And I do know that when you talk about the Holy Spirit, it can often be one of the least understood parts of the Godhead. There's God the Father. We're okay with God the Father. There's God the Son. We're okay with God the Son. And then there's God the Holy Spirit. And this is the kind of aspect that sometimes people can struggle with. And there can be a lot of confusion, and there can be a lot of doctrinal debates around who is the Holy Spirit and what does the Holy Spirit do. And this series is all about trying to bring some clarity to that, about bringing clarity and understanding about what the Word of God has to say and what Jesus intended when he said that the Holy Spirit was a gift that he wanted to send. And that it was better for him to go in order that he could actually send that gift to actually come and not only be with us, but to actually be in us. And so, but above you just knowing about it, we also want you to encounter the Holy Spirit. We want you to know his presence in a deep and powerful way. And so that's what this series is about. And today I've simply entitled my message, Power. Last week was called Breathe, and I encourage you, if you kind of joining the series late, we have all our messages online on our YouTube channel, and you can go and check out, and I encourage you to go and watch it, because I kind of lay a foundation for what we're speaking about over these next weeks in week one, and I speak about how the Holy Spirit is the one that we are meant to breathe deeply of, and so I encourage you to go and watch that and enjoy that, but this week is power. Next week, I'm going to speak about being filled. And the week after that, I've entitled Gifted. So that's the journey that we're going on. But today, our key text is actually found in Zechariah chapter 4. And I find it fascinating, and we talk about the Holy Spirit, that we can actually find him in the Old Testament. Last week, I spoke about how he was there at creation. And here we find in Zechariah chapter 4, this vision is given to Zechariah the prophet for Zerubbabel, who was the kind of governor over Judah at that day. It was after they had returned back from exile, and his heart is stirred to rebuild the temple so that people could worship. And this is what the prophet Zechariah says to him in verse 6 of Zechariah chapter 4. He says, "This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might," literally that word means not by human strength, "nor by power, but by my spirit," the implication is by God's power, says the Lord Almighty. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit," says the Lord. And then there's this beautiful analogy of these two olive trees. And the picture that is there is these two olive trees that are on either side of this golden lampstand that has seven lamps in it. And it says that the oil from those olive trees would continually drip down and refuel those lamps so that they would never be extinguished. And in essence, what I feel like the Lord is saying to Zerubbabel is essentially this, and I've kind of paraphrased it into my own words. It's, "I've given you a great kingdom task, Zerubbabel, to build my temple. But you're not going to do this in your own power, your own strength, and your own ability. Just like I supernaturally sustain these lamps, I'm going to give you all that you need to do this. It is by my spirit, not by your own strength, that this is going to happen." And so this message is about God's power and the power of the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I find that sometimes I can do a lot of things in my own strength. even as a pastor, even as someone who's leading others, there's still moments when I can be tempted sometimes to do things in my own strength. When you've been doing something long enough and you've been doing something for many years, you kind of know what to do sometimes. And so it can be very easy that you can just slip into doing things in your own strength. And that's true for your life as well. Is that it doesn't matter what you're doing, we can all find ourselves at times in that place. But the encouragement of Scripture, and what I want you to get out of this time, is that it's not our own strength that's going to make the difference in your life. Because what I found is that very quickly I get to the end of my own strength. I found that my own strength has a ceiling. I found that my own strength has a limitation. And I can only achieve so much in my own strength. But when I've learned to surrender and I've understand that God's Holy Spirit strengthens me and empowers me, there is so much more that He's able to do in my life and through my life, and likewise in yours as well. And I think we have to recognize that being a Christian, we have to recognize that we need the power of the Holy Spirit. Because otherwise we're just the same as everyone else, and all that we are is a social club. All that we are is just a group of people gathering together around a common theme, but we're no different to anyone else. Now, in some ways, we are no different, but what the difference is not so much us, who we are, it's who's within us. And the Holy Spirit within us is the very presence of Jesus, who actually changes and transforms us in a way that we're able to live the life that Jesus would have us to live. Let's skip over to the New Testament in Acts chapter 1, where we see Jesus himself talking about the gift of the Holy Spirit to those early disciples. And he says this in verse 4. He says, "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift." Jesus spoke about the Holy Spirit as a gift. He said, "This is a gift that I'm going to give you." How many of you know that a gift can only really hold its essence as a gift if you receive it? That's what a gift is. You kind of almost rob something of its gift power if you don't receive it. If someone comes to you today after the service and says, "Here's a gift for you," and you're just like, "Oh, no, I don't want that." Well, it's no longer a gift to you. But if you receive that gift and you open it and you appropriate it in your life, then it's powerful. And Jesus says, "The Holy Spirit is a gift. I want you to wait for the gift that my Father has promised, which you heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Let's skip down to verse 8. He says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." There it is. "And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the very ends of the earth." If you kind of look at it at surface level, it sounds very similar to what God had been speaking through the prophet Zechariah to Zerubbabel. It's kind of essentially the same thing that Jesus is saying to these disciples. He's saying, "Guys, I have this kingdom mandate. Zerubbabel, you've got to build a temple. Yeah. Disciples, you're going to go take the gospel to all nations." Yeah. No longer is God's presence just locked in a building. You're going to take him to all nations. Yeah. Zerubbabel, here's the message. It's not by your own strength and power that you're going to do this. It's not by your own abilities, your temperaments, all those things. It's not by those things that you're going to do this. It's by my Spirit. Disciples, you've got to wait, because you can't just do this in your own strength. This mandate that I have for you to do is not going to be done just based on who you are. It's going to be done by the power of my Holy Spirit. Therefore, you have to wait for that gift. Here's the thing, we don't have to wait any longer. Hello? You see, the waiting was back then. But then what we see happening in Acts chapter 2 is that the Holy Spirit is poured out in the most incredible way on those early disciples, and they literally are transformed from being fearful to fearless. They are transformed supernaturally through the empowering presence of the Holy Spirit upon them and within them, in a way that we see that the Holy Spirit's poured out. People think people are drunk. Peter has to get up and remind everyone the pubs aren't even open yet. They're not drunk as you suppose. This is the Holy Spirit that Jesus has spoken about, that the prophets had foretold would be the one who would actually be poured out. And he says, now it's taking place. Now it's happening. And he gets up, Peter, and he preaches one of the most powerful sermons. And it says that on that day, 3,000 people get radically saved and filled with the Holy Spirit. And from that moment, the church exploded. Yeah, so good. What was the difference? It was the power of God. The power of the Holy Spirit that was at work. It's not by might nor by power, says the Lord. Now, Jesus' wisdom is so profound here. Because when he walked the face of the earth, as we spoke about last week, he was one man within the limitations of a human body. And let me tell you, wherever Jesus went, he impacted those that he came across. Lives were transformed, people were healed, people were saved. There were signs, wonders, miracles, demons were cast out. It was just amazing. Wherever Jesus went, things happened. And yet he knew that actually there was something more that was needed. There was something beyond just that. Jesus himself was filled with the Holy Spirit, who, it said, he descended like a dove at his baptism. Woo. I like the dove. The dove. Anyone else like a dove? Woo. I love that. You know what the dove speaks of? Peace. And if you're not experiencing peace in your life, it's not so much that God needs to fix the external stuff that's going on, because Jesus said, in this life, you will have troubles. So sometimes trouble is just part of the equation. But you can have a peace within that only comes through the Holy Spirit. He is the dove of peace. And it says the Holy Spirit settled on Jesus at his baptism. And then it says that when he was led by the Holy Spirit, full of the Holy Spirit, into the desert to be tempted as well, he ministered and he preached in the power of the Holy Spirit. And then he basically says, what I have, you need too. He says, you need that same thing too. And no longer would it just be the one, Jesus, ministering to the many, but now it would be the many ministering the one to the many. And you can just see God's wisdom. You can see how the gospel would spread that way. Because now the believers would have the very presence of Jesus through the Holy Spirit alive within them. And now he says, you have my power. I'm empowering you to go with this incredible kingdom mandate. And he says, I'm going to give you everything that you need. A New Testament believer is meant to be a Holy Spirit empowered believer who understands that it's not by our own strength and abilities, but it's by his strength and his power that we're going to see these things take place. You know, I was radically saved as a university student back in the day. Didn't grow up in a church family, didn't have any of that kind of background at all. And I remember when I first met Jesus thinking, well, oh, it's so lovely I've met Jesus, but there's probably not much that he can do with my life. I don't know if anyone out there can identify with that. I had this kind of weird thinking that thought because I was only becoming a Christian at a later age and I hadn't grown up in a Christian family, that there was only so much that I could actually do for the kingdom. I had this weird thinking that said because I hadn't been to kids ministry, that God couldn't use me. I said, I don't see that anywhere in the Bible, but somehow I had this thinking. And I would kind of say, man, you know, how limiting was that thinking? But as I grew in my relationship and understanding, and I began to discover who the Holy Spirit is and what he does, I began to discover that he specializes in taking what power I think I don't have and superseding that with his power. And he says, man, if you just surrender to me, we can do incredible things. And he says, it's not going to be you. It's not going to be your might and your power that's going to do this. It's going to be my power at work through you. And therefore, I stand here today as a pastor, as a leader of a church, as a preacher, doing this week in and week out. And I have to say to you, it's not my power, my natural abilities, my natural talents that does this. It's supernatural empowering that God has given me that I've learned to surrender to that enables me to do what I do week in and week out. And God likewise has something for you as well. He wants you in whatever sphere he's called you to be, to also be walking in that supernatural enabling power. Stop limiting yourself. Too many believers are limiting what they can do for the kingdom because we're disqualifying ourselves because of the past or our present or whatever history we've got or don't have, and we're kind of thinking, well, I can't really be used by God. Said who? Said you. Not Jesus. Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit says, man, I specialize in people like you. I specialize in taking the things that are not to shame the things that are. I specialize in taking the things of little reputation in order to shame the things of great reputation. Why? So that people wouldn't look at you, they'd look to me. And they say, it has to be Jesus. When they look at Matt's life, they say, it has to be Jesus. I know Matt. I've been to his house. I've seen him when he's grumpy.
Yeah.
It has to be. My assistant pastor just laughed a little bit too loudly. But here's the thing, it's like, I remember this young Christian one day coming up to Jill. This is back when we led her, planted a church in South Africa. And I came up to Jill, just got saved, radically saved. And I came up to Jill after a meeting, after I've been preaching and doing what I do, came up to Jill and said, and looked at his starry eyes. He says, "What's it like living with Pastor Matt?" She just looked at him and laughed. And she said, "He's just a man." But I appreciate what he was saying. He was just like, he said, but you get to be with him all the time. Doesn't he preach like all the time? And she just laughed and said, "No." Sometimes I battle to get him to talk. You see, it's the supernatural enabling presence of the Holy Spirit that transforms us into what God, and he wants to do the same thing for your life. And so, I wouldn't be doing what I do today without His Spirit. And I see so many Christians trying to live without this dynamic, empowering presence of the Holy Spirit. And to me, it just doesn't make sense. If Jesus needed the Holy Spirit, if the disciples needed the Holy Spirit, then so too do you. And we need to grasp that. Do you know that the word that's used for power in that scripture that we read in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, is the word, Greek word dunamis, which means power, strength, or ability. So the word, kind of word that we kind of get words like dynamite, dynamo, dynamic from. It means that kind of, but here's the thing, in the context that it's used here in the scripture, it's not just referring to natural power. It's referring to supernatural power, power that is divine in its nature and origin. It's used to refer to the power that's inherent in God Himself. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's the same power that we see the sick getting healed and demons cast out, and that enabled Jesus to resist temptation when he went into the desert. And Jesus said that same power now resides in you through the Holy Spirit. I just think, man, here's the thing. I'm to say thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit empowers me to live the life that Jesus purchased for me on that cross. 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 says, For the Spirit God gives us does not make us timid, here it is, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So the Holy Spirit wants to give you power. Remember that these disciples were the very disciples that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, encountered. And let's pick it up in John chapter 20, verse 19. It says, on the evening of the first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood amongst them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. He was showing them, "It's me, the resurrected Jesus." The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you." See, as I said earlier, if you haven't got peace in your life, you need the Holy Spirit. Twice, Jesus says, "I'm going to give you peace." And then he goes on to say this. He says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." And we know that right there in that moment, they're saved in the New Testament way. They meet with the resurrected Savior. And the Holy Spirit seals their salvation. And every person who surrenders their life to Jesus, we spoke about this last week, they receive the Holy Spirit in that moment. And as we saw last week, because it's the Holy Spirit who draws us, it's the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin, it's the Holy Spirit who brings us to salvation, it's the Holy Spirit who makes Jesus real to us. So he's involved right at the beginning. But then Jesus said, but there's more. So you might have received the Holy Spirit more, but you still need to be filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Yeah. What John and the Baptist and Jesus called the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we see happening on the day of Pentecost. And this incredible act, as I said, that happens, that changes these men and women. And we're going to look at that specifically next week. We're going to look at what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is, what it's not. We're gonna just camp around that. And so if you've got any questions around that, we as a church believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so we're gonna unpack that next week. And so you don't want to miss next week, because I think it's going to be a powerful Sunday. But the Holy Spirit is being given to us for power's sake, not to do things in our own strength. And so what ways does the Holy Spirit empower us? And I want to quickly just look at four ways that the Holy Spirit empowers us. And the first way is this, is that the Holy Spirit empowers us to know Him fully. He empowers us to know Him fully. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 3, verse 16. It says, I pray that from His glorious unlimited resources, He may, here it is, empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will go down into God's love and keep you strong. And you may have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it's too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. You see, it's a close personal relationship with the Holy Spirit that's going to enable you to know Jesus in that way. It said here, the scripture says it's kind of impossible to know Him fully. That's why I'm giving you the Holy Spirit. Yeah. See, the Holy Spirit's being will empower you to know Him in deep and powerful ways, and to know the depth of His love for you. You know, we can sing in the beginning. We sang some songs about the love of God, and they're great. And they're like, oh, kumbaya, they're great. You know, the love of Jesus, isn't it amazing? But we need a revelation through His Holy Spirit, who will teach you about how much God actually loves you, about how much the Father loves you, about how much Jesus loves you and how He gave His life for you. And you're going to know the depth and the breadth. And when you understand and get that revelation of the love of Jesus, no guy, no girl, no relationship is ever going to compare and meet that love that Jesus Christ can only bring. And that's where relationships become healthy. Relationships are unhealthy when we're looking to a person to be the answer. See, the person's never going to be the answer. Jill's not the answer. Jill's the one, the helper that comes alongside me as we journey into all that God has got for us. I'm so thankful that she completes me in so many ways, but she's not the answer. The answer is that firstly, it's found, and I'm empowered through the Holy Spirit to know the love of the Father, to know the love of Jesus. And when we have that revelation, it'll transform your life. It says in that scripture, you'll know His strength, your roots will go deep, you'll understand, you'll know His love, you'll experience His love, and you will be completed with His life and His power. The second thing that I see the Holy Spirit empowering us to do is for us to live righteously. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 says, so letting your sinful nature control your minds leads to death. But letting the Spirit control your minds leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws and never will. That's why those who are still under control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You're controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to empower you to live the life that glorifies Jesus. A holy life, a set apart life, a life that honors God's word and His ways. You see, and I say that specifically about His word and His ways, because some people find loopholes. And they're kind of saying, well, the word doesn't specifically say da 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 da, therefore it's okay. No, no. It's about honoring God's word, but also His ways. You know, when I raised my kids, they're all adults now. Hopefully all turned out okay. The reality is when we were raising our kids, we didn't have a list of 500 rules that they've got to remember. No, there were a few things, but ultimately, we wanted to teach them God's ways. Because if they understood God's ways, then that's going to help them make sense of when they come across a situation or circumstance that may not necessarily be in God's word, but the Spirit of God's word, they're going to be able to know what it is, and the Holy Spirit will empower them to live righteously. See, God wants you and I to live a life that's honoring of Him. And the reality is that if we just live according to the sinful nature, if you're just operating in your own strength, you're going to fall. But when you understand that actually it's weak and it's only through the empowering help of the Holy Spirit, He's the one who's going to enable you not to do the things that your sinful nature would have you do. He says, when you live by the Spirit, you don't live according to the flesh. You live according to the Spirit, and His name is the Holy Spirit. He's not here to just endorse what you're not doing or to endorse the things that you're doing in your life and just pat you on the back and say, you're just a nice person. No, no, no. His role is to empower you to live a holy life, a life set apart for Jesus, a life that is representative of Him, that's honoring of Him. Not in some legalistic way, but in a life that says, God, I'm so thankful for what you did on the cross, that you paid the price for my sins, past, present, future. And all I want to do these days is live my life in honor of you. So thankful to you for all that you've done, that I don't want to sin. I don't want to live according to the sinful nature. And thank you, Holy Spirit, that you empower me to live a holy life. Does that mean that you'll never make mistakes? No. But it's the Holy Spirit who's there to help you, pick you up and empower you to get back up in your feet and keep walking. He empowers us. When we're weak, He empowers us. Romans 8 verse 26 says, in the same way the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. Right now, you might say, man, I'm in a bit of a mess. I've got stuff going on. Stuff I'm doing I'm not proud of. Well, the Holy Spirit's interceding for you. He's praying for you. And He says, hey, come on. We can do this. If you just trust me and allow me to empower you, we can do this. The third thing that we see is that He empowers me to live supernaturally. You know, shortly after the day of Pentecost, we come across the account of Peter and John, two of the disciples who had been there on the day of Pentecost. And it says that they come across this lame beggar who's at the gate to the temple. And he asked them for money like he had asked everyone else, not only that day, but for years before that. And this is what it says in Acts 3 verse 4. It says, Peter looked straight at him, as did John. And then Peter said, look at us. This man he's a lame beggar, so he has not walked since birth. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. You see, he was expecting an earthly answer. He was expecting to get money because he thought money was the kind of short-term answer to the problem that he had. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have. I don't have that earthly answer that you're looking for. But what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. And it says that the thing that they had was that they had the Holy Spirit. They had the power of the Holy Spirit at work within them. And they said, we're not going to give you an earthly gift. We're going to give you a heavenly gift, a divine gift, the power of the Holy Spirit. And they reach out and they grab this man by his hand. And they say, look at us. And he looks at them. And then he says, instantly his ankles become strong. And he jumps to his feet and he begins to do something that he had not done since his birth. Walk. You see, the power of the Holy Spirit, that same power dwells in you and I. And it says, all that knew him were filled with wonder and amazement. And Peter preaches and thousands get saved. You see, you cannot give what you haven't got. And Peter and John, they knew they had something. They had the power of the Holy Spirit alive inside of them. And so when they came across this man in need, they said, man, you think you need that, but I've got something that's way better here. And a miracle happens. When's the last time you stepped out in faith and belief for a miracle for someone? When's the last time you asked God for that prophetic word, that word of knowledge for someone in your workplace, a neighbor, a family member, a friend? When's the last time when someone came to you with a need, you said, stop right there, let's pray? When's the last time that you just allowed the power of the Holy Spirit to work through you? Because Jesus wants us to live supernaturally natural lives and naturally supernatural lives. Not just natural lives, but supernaturally natural lives. Where the power of the Holy Spirit at work through us is as normal as breathing, wherever we find ourselves. And then lastly, He empowers me for mission. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 verse 4 says, we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that he has chosen you. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. And you know how we lived amongst you for your sake. You see, it was the Holy Spirit that empowered them to live with this call and mandate that Jesus had for their lives. And it's that that held them, even when there was opposition that came upon them. And it's the Holy Spirit that will empower you for the mandate that God has for your life. He enables us to live with his vision, just not our own. I hope that you don't think your best life is just to live for your vision. Your best life is to live for his vision. Not yours, his. And sometimes there may be some, you know, there might be some overlap because our vision is his vision. But don't settle for less than what Jesus intended for you. It's the Holy Spirit who's meant to lead us and guide us. Galatians 5 verse 25 says, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. And to live with anything less than that, you're living with this untapped potential. Are there any Formula One lovers here? Maybe online, maybe you're a Formula One lover. Everyone's kind of got into it over watching Drive to Survive and all that kind of stuff. And as a family, we get into it. We watch all the races together. But it's like this. Imagine Ferrari. They're doing pretty well. Ferrari at the minute. Beautiful Ferrari car. Looks incredible. This beautiful red. But imagine if there was no power in that engine. Imagine if things just weren't working. All it was this beautiful looking car. It's got all this potential, but it's got no power. See, that's what it is to try and live without the Holy Spirit. You have all this potential, but you got no power. And you can try and push that Ferrari, and you're just like slowly going down the main straight. But you're exhausted and you're not going very fast. But as soon as fuel goes into that engine and power is up, all of a sudden, woo, 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 woo. That's what preachers do. It's called light and shade. But all of a sudden, 300 kilometers an hour you're traveling at. The difference, the power. The power. Don't try and do your life without his power. We need his power. You know, in Acts chapter 4, it speaks about how the disciples were all gathered together. Peter and John come back. They've just been before a Jewish court and have to give an account for this miracle that I spoke about earlier that had happened with that beggar. And so they're giving an account and they say, well, let's join our voices together and pray. And listen to what happens in Acts chapter 4, verse 31. It says, after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. You see, he enables us to proclaim the word of God boldly. You might say, in temperament, I'm timid. In temperament, I'm shy. In temperament, I'm not that person to say anything. No, but when the Holy Spirit empowers you, he'll make you bold. He'll enable you to say things and speak things and declare things and pray things that you never thought possible, because that's what he does. You see, the Holy Spirit is not just given for self-indulgence. I think in the past, certain parts of the church have done a disservice because they made the Holy Spirit all about self-indulgence. But the Holy Spirit's not just about self-indulgence. The Holy Spirit's about kingdom advancement. And he wants to empower you for the mandate, the kingdom mandate that God has for your life. And in this room and those watching online, there's all kinds of places that we're being sent to, that God wants to use us. Imagine going into work tomorrow, school, university, just your shops, whatever it may be, the daycare center, full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Imagine what he could potentially do through you as you have ears to hear and you're saying, God, I'm available, Holy Spirit.